In today's letters slot, although there are a number of people who write to the press complaining about the roads, we think we've heard enough of that and there are plenty of other issues. So, here we go. Basil Krask of Helsdon questions how planning permission can be granted for a huge residential development on the Royal Norwich Golf Club site when it is evident from a public meeting that there are plenty of questions still to be answered. In the development of the golf course in Helsdon, there is need for the Broadland District Council to listen to the people of Helsdon and to stop being fearful of a challenge from Persimmon builders should they, rightly, turn down this application. To even consider increasing the Helsdon population by 30% as proposed is foolhardy and irresponsible. Unfortunately, many residents have given up the fight, believing that whatever they say about their own community and its needs will have no impact. After the public meeting at Helsdon High School, most people left shaking their heads at the lack of any factual answers to residents' questions. We were told most things were still in discussion. If this is the case, how can planning permission of any sort be granted? That would be failing our community. At the moment, we are left with nothing more than a set of unanswered questions.
There are a couple of letters arising from Norwich City's defeat in the FA Cup. Mike Bullman of Norwich writes, I fully agree with Tony Peake's letter regarding Norwich City FA Cup departure. Every season, it's the same old excuse. The league is more important. I can remember when a good cup run meant everything to the Canaries, like in 1959. In those days, the club had pride and passion, something that seems to have deserted them over recent years. When Robbie Earle failed to sign for Norwich a few seasons ago, his reason was, I can't sign for a club with no ambition. How right he was.
Then James Dyer of Old Catton asks how the supporters can afford to go to the matches. It's January, it's cold and miserable, and yet 1,200 City supporters travel to Stoke midweek to support Norwich City. Who are they? How do they find the money? The average skilled worker now has to work for at least 2 years to earn what these footballers are paid in 1 week. They cannot afford to take time off. Perhaps Clive Lewis and Ed Balls will tell us. After all, they are always telling us how bad things are under the Conservatives.
Finally, Stephen Ellingham puts in a plea for something to be done about the rubbish in Norwich Rivers. Just take a walk by the river at Whitlingham to realise that the problem begins at home. For along the banks, vast quantities of our rubbish litters the intertidal zone and gets caught in bankside vegetation. Working at a boatyard just upstream of the Broads Authority dockyard at Thorpe, I see how the tidal ebb and flow collects masses of Norwich's waterborne detritus. It's much worse after a weekend of thoughtless littering. The flotsam is temporarily held until spring tides wash it out to the sea and longshore drift deposits the waste on our beaches. Even before the advent of plastics and the packaging culture, Norwich City Council funded pre-war river litter collection with a dedicated workboat at Hoborough's Yard, later May Gurney, and now Broads Authority Dockyard, clearing river litter from new mills to Hardley Cross every week. Surely the city should once again take responsibility for this vast stretch of unique and wonderful Broads that is legally within its jurisdiction. How easy it would be to collect and recycle our city's waterborne rubbish from along the banks where it naturally hangs before adding to the unacceptable breach debris. Tidying the river would show children and visitors that we do actually care for our amazing riparian heritage.